Amazon is buying Whole Foods for the equivalent of $13.7 billion. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In an announcement that will reshape the supermarket business, the online retailer Amazon said it's buying the high-end food chain Whole Foods for $42 a share. The stock closed at $33 yesterday after falling 6% on the day. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos said today in a statement that Whole Foods made it, quote, fun to eat healthy. But we should also point out that Whole Foods alienated customers with sometimes high prices, and activist investors have been agitating for change. Whole Foods will keep its name. Analysts are already imagining the possibilities of Amazon with access to all these physical Whole Foods locations and Whole Foods with access to Amazon's tech and logistical smarts. Analyst Chris Lowe at FTN Financial has some early context here.
You know, when you think about innovation in this industry, it's glacially slow. In the last 65 years or so, the only really major change is products. There's a lot more stuff in markets than there used to be, but the way they manage the business from logistics to sales really hasn't changed in half a century.
And then we have this innovator, this disruptor, capital D, Amazon, coming in. It will acquire a grocery chain, Whole Foods, that's got some very nice produce, but has not been growing in any kind of spectacular fashion in recent years.
Right. And, you know, at this stage, we really can only speculate what the plan is. But I think a couple of things we're thinking here. One is that there is certainly a plan. This is Amazon we're talking about, after all. And they tend to be long-term thinkers. The other is that it is very likely a disruptive plan. Amazon has completely revolutionized American retail. And of course, David, they have been running this pilot project, Amazon Supermarkets, that they've been testing with their own employees for the past year or so.
And so they have experience in this. It's not like they're coming out of left field. But could you imagine Whole Foods markets with a little Amazon place to also pick up your Amazon order?
On top of that, if you go into those test supermarkets Amazon has opened, what you'll find is there's no checkout. You walk into the market recognizes you as a customer, and you're charged for the products electronically as you take them off the shelf. And from a profits point of view, a margins point of view, you don't have to pay all those checkout people.
There was recognition that Whole Foods had some major challenges. There was pressure from some activist investors for it to revamp its leadership system. It had co-CEOs. One was pushed out. Now it's one CEO. Whole Foods has struggled to find its own footing here.
Whole Foods has struggled. And of course, one of the big changes they've implemented in the past year is trying to get prices down without sacrificing quality. That's been a sort of iffy fight just to get floor traffic back up.
Those activist investors could stand gain with this bulletin here this morning, right?
The reason activist investors get involved with companies in the first place is they see an opportunity to take a broken management system and fix it, and that results in bigger profits. And in this case, it's an absolute home run because you're replacing the management system entirely with Amazon's management, which is one of the best in the world.
And that great online chameleon, Amazon, taking on a whole new area here.
People who used to say Amazon couldn't be profitable because they were just a bookstore might want to think before they suggest Amazon can't make money with Whole Foods because it's just a grocery store.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
In early trading this morning, the competition was feeling miserable. Kroger stock was down 13%. Walmart stock was down nearly 6%. Target down 11%. Costco almost 7%. Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. Marketplace is here because these days I think it's essential to have an independent source exploring how the economy really works, not just for the market participants or the financial geniuses, but for everyone. Your support keeps our kind of reporting coming, and it is especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. If you could, visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us on the beat. Thank you. Google Alphabet is reportedly in the crosshairs of European antitrust regulators. The Financial Times is reporting that Google could face more than €1 billion or $1 billion in penalties for using their search platforms to get a possibly unfair advantage. Some of this involves how Google Search is integrated in devices that use the Android environment, which is Google's own. Some of this is about how Google-related stuff got pride of place when people used Google Shopping. The Financial Times reporter Rochelle Toplinski in Brussels wrote the piece.
So it goes back to a few years ago when the price comparison websites were a much stronger presence in the market than they are now. The regulator alleges that Google basically preferenced its own services. They would put their ads in a nice picture feature across the top when you put in, say, a search for a type of camera. Up would pop the Google Shopping ads. And then if you were looking at the price comparison websites, those ones would actually be back on page 2 or page 3.
That is an interesting point. It's true that in 2017, those price comparison sites are a little less prominent compared to what they were some years ago.
Definitely. And part of that's that, you know, the internet has changed. Retailers have their own websites now, whether they maybe didn't 7, 8, 10 years ago. And then also Amazon's a lot stronger and eBay's a lot stronger. And I mean, that's Google's argument in this situation, is that the commission is comparing them to the wrong people, that those shopping comparison websites aren't necessarily relevant because they take you to a different website that you then click to a retailer.
Any sense of when this will become more formal, when we'll actually hear officially from the EU on this?
The expectation is that it will be in the next sort of coming weeks before the July summer break here in Europe. And if it does happen to get pushed back, that it would probably be one of the first things they did when they came back in the autumn.
Financial Times reporter Rochelle Toplinski in Brussels, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
Father's Day is Sunday, just saying. I'm also just saying the words paternal leave. A guy who works at JP Morgan Chase has filed a federal discrimination complaint against the bank for denying men the same parental leave as women. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank has more.
In 1994, about 6,000 dads took paternity leave each month. 20 years later, that tripled to about 22,000 per month. Ohio State University economist Jay Zagorski published those findings in the American Journal of Public Health. He says that's a huge increase.
But it's still a very, very small number compared to the 250,000 babies that are roughly born each month.
There's more social pressure on men to take paternity leave, says Kenneth Matos. He's a researcher at consulting firm Life Meets Work.
The cultural norm for what it means to be a father has been expanded so that it includes a lot more child caregiving responsibilities.
A few companies like Netflix and Amazon have made a big deal of expanding paid paternity leave, but Matos says that's rare. Also, he says dads who do take time off don't take much.
The norm is still around 2 weeks for most men. So while they may be taking parental leave, it's not necessarily on par with what their spouse partner might be taking.
10 weeks of leave is the average for new mothers, and for half of them, that's unpaid. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.